You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Follow us on social media at CJSF on Twitter, on Facebook and Instagram at CJSF Radio. Listen to old episodes and special programming on our SoundCloud at CJSF 90.1. Diverse, independent, and yours.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
As a young man in India wanting to escape the rigors of medical school, Rajiv Partheev fled to an ashram in the Himalayas. He told the head monk that he wanted to become a monk. The guru laughed and told him he was not ready. Partheev was then given a spiritual initiation and sent back home. 30 years later, and half a world away in Southern California, he fled his life once more. This time at the behest of two angels, a being of light, and a truly profound mystical exploration catalyzed by a near-death experience. Rajiv Partheev is a world-renowned specialist in pain management with over 30 years as a cardiac anesthesiologist. In addition to being chief of anesthesiology at Bakersfield Heart Hospital for more than a decade, Dr. Partheev is founder of the Pain Management Institute of California. His study in complementary and alternative medicine has led him to formulate an integrative approach to total wellness, especially pain management, stress, and depression. He's the co-author with Paul Perry of an autobiography, Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. Join us for the next hour as we explore the fascinating story of a near-death experience, the spiritual transformation that followed, and the lessons it holds for all of us with our guest, Dr. Rajiv Partheev. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions.
It's my honor to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my honor to have you. I would love for us to begin, if we may, with like a thumbnail look into your life prior to the surgery and prior to this near-death experience. So what was your life like before that?
In short, I was born and raised in India to a middle-class family, and I did my basic medical school in India. When I went into medical school, I wanted to serve the poor in the villages, uneducated, you know, to really, that was my mission. But you mentioned about my spirituality. When I wanted in the first or second year of medical school, I became very spiritual that I wanted to give up medicine and become a monk, but the guru sent me back. And then when I finished my medical school, I was about 22 years old, and my sister was in U.S., so she sponsored me, and I came to U.S. in 1982. So I've been here 34 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did a residency in New York in pediatrics, and the idealistic...
So that's going to work with children in pregnancy. Yes.
Yeah, it's your children.
Yes.
The idealistic Rajiv, you know, who wanted to serve and the poor and be there for the needy was somehow left behind in India. And now success, financial success, became a very important goal for me, the so-called American dream. And my American dream actually became a runaway American dream. You know, every few years, a bigger house, fancy cars, and more money. So much so, I was not making the amount of money I wanted to make as a pediatrician, because that is the lowest paying specialty in medicine in America. I went back and did a residency in anesthesiology.
So that's a better paying specialty, huh?
It is one of the highest paying specialties.
So then, and then eventually you got to Bakersfield to this.
Eventually, my sister again was still married to a cardiologist near Fresno, California. So I did my residency pediatric in New York and anesthesiology in LSU Shreveport. And then when it came time to settle, I went to California. And at Bakersfield, they had invited me for a 2 week job, which is we call locum in medical terminology, locum for substituting for somebody. But they liked it, we liked it. So we have been there for now 28 years.
So in that way, you were eventually like the head anesthesiologist there in that, in a heart cardiac hospital that specialized.
Yeah, the name of the hospital was Bakersfield Heart Hospital.
So that was a big deal. People came from everywhere to come to this hospital for their heart surgeries and things.
Yeah, valve surgeries, bypass surgeries, and all the aneurysm.
And so you were living pretty, as we say in the U.S., high on the hog, so to speak.
Yeah.
Big house, you were driving big cars, and you were.
I had a Hummer, I had a sports BMW. Every 2-3 years, I would change my car, you know.
Then you had, and you developed prostate cancer.
Exactly, in August of 2008.
So you had surgery, and that started, that first surgery was successful for the cancer, but not so successful in other ways. So
yeah, like it left me with complications. One of the biggest complications was incontinence. I had to wear diapers, you know, and I was hard cases or long cases, you know, 4-5 hour cases. And the other thing was where the anastomosis was, where the surgery was, that would cause scarring again and again. And they had to do repeat surgery to cut the scar. And I had 7 total surgeries. And then I developed chronic pelvic pain. And for pelvic pain, they gave me pain medications, which I used to prescribe in my pain clinic. So I got dependent upon those pain medicines. That all this led to depression. So
I just want to catch our listeners up, because while you were working in the heart hospital, you also started a pain clinic.
Yes.
So you also had this going, like, so to speak, on the side.
Exactly.
And your wife had a whole dentistry
practice.
So she was a practicing dentist, and you have 3 children. And so I'm just giving kind of a picture of your life.
Exactly.
And so now you developed some sort of infection, I believe. It was the Christmas of 2008?
August of 2008, I had the surgery for prostate. So in December of 2010, now it is 2.5 years, and my incontinence was not getting better, because you have to give it some time for it to recover naturally. But I consulted a professor at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, and he said if it was to recover naturally, it would have recovered. So he suggested a surgery to implant a special device called artificial urethral sphincter so I can control my bladder.
Right. And so that's what got infected, and now we're up to the this surgery that you had in where you had a near-death experience.
And exactly.
I'd love for you to say something. We'll talk more in detail about the actual experience, but after coming to, you were able to talk about it to the anesthesiologist,
yeah.
which is usually the doctor, the first doctor anyone sees coming out of surgery, is that's the doctor. And he reacted how to
you know, the first person actually I spoke to was the recovery room nurse.
Okay.
But the first doctor I spoke to was the anesthesiologist.
And you told him about this experience.
Yeah.
And was he interested?
No. Yeah, the nurse was interested. She was very sympathetic and she had heard before. And usually women nurses are somehow more sympathetic, more nurturing, more spiritual. And doctor actually reminded me of myself because I had a similar case few years back where we were doing special surgery on a patient where the aorta, the main artery which comes off the heart on the left side, and normally it was aneurysm, means it was dilated. And normally we do the patient surgeries on the heart on a bypass pump where the blood is going through the brain. But in this case, we could not do it on a bypass pump. We literally froze the patient down.
That's just an amazing, and I know you go into detail in the book about that, an amazing process that they are, you know, it's like dead on the table.
Exactly.
So to speak.
There was
it's
no
amazing.
Blood to brain, no blood to heart or kidneys.
But you have to work really fast.
45 to 60 minutes, okay. Maximum.
So this person now is in recovery and they've had this near-death experience. And how did you react to what they were saying?
I thought, oh, sure. You know, he had no blood going to his brain for 45 minutes. So maybe he did suffer some neurological damage in spite of being frozen. So actually, I gave him an antipsychotic shot of Haldol. And said, I'll come back tomorrow to listen, but I never went.
And you know that, I know you stayed the idea that many times this is what doctors do, and the person who has had that experience, then it fades from their memory. They have no longer have, it's like an anesthesiology. Amnesia.
Right. You know, Haldol is a very strong antipsychotic. You know, if somebody is going crazy, you...
So you're taking that whole experience away from them in some ways.
Yeah.
So here you are. You've had this experience. You're saying it to the doctor. He's treating you the same way you have treated
other
patients.
At least he didn't give me a Haldol shot.
At least he didn't do that. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So here you are, and I would love for you to begin to share with us what that experience was. Where did you go? I want to remind our listeners that people talk about going into the light and all of that, and there's going to be all love and light. But in your case, it wasn't easy, so to speak. It wasn't a total easy transition or experience.
You're right. It was traumatic to begin with.
So before we go into that, I just want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he is the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And if you want to know more about his work and his clinic, which is the Pain Management Institute of California, you can go to his website, dyingtowakeup.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he is the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. Dr. Partee, I'd like to ask you now if you could describe that experience, that extraordinary experience of a near death and going, where did you go and what happened?
Yeah, sure. You know, so I was taken in for emergency surgery because I was becoming badly infected. And the device I mentioned, you know, artificial urinary sphincter, had become the source of infection. After all, it is a foreign body. So I was taken to the surgery early morning. And I had seen the clock while going in the operating room. So about 20 minutes or so, I saw myself looking at my own physical body from near the ceiling. And my first reaction was that something is not right. And maybe the anesthesiologist mixed up some drugs. Because there is a drug, as an anesthesiologist, I know, ketamine, which is a dissociative anesthetic, but it is rarely, rarely used in adults. I don't remember using it in adults. The only time I've used it is in children for burn dressing changes because they need dressing changes every other day or so. And it is also used as anesthetic in veterinary medicine. And I later checked the record, it was not used. And there was no reason for him to use it.
So it was used like with horses or something?
Yeah. Or dogs, cats, all those. And for little children, you know.
But it wasn't, you thought it might, they might have used that because here you are looking down at yourself and you're thinking, okay, maybe they gave me the wrong medicine.
Because it is, and by definition, its class is known as dissociative anesthetic. Okay. It dissociates the consciousness and the body.
Okay.
And then I heard the conversations and so much so I remember the joke told by an anesthesiologist. I still remember it, but I can't repeat it because it was a dirty joke.
It was off color. Okay. You won't repeat it, but you heard it.
Yeah. And I saw the surgery. I could even smell. You know, the surgery, you know, it was pretty awful. And from there, I went to different realms. And, you know, I went to, my consciousness was kind of at both. I did not travel, but it was more like Star Wars, beam me, Scotty. Here, then I'm there.
Right.
And then I was in my childhood house in India, where I saw my mother and my sister, and I verified with them 3-4 days later what they were wearing. They were shocked.
When it was happening at the same time, they were wearing this, you verified they had the same clothes on. And then where did you go?
And then I found myself going to in a realm which was very dark. And I could hear a lot of souls crying, and there was fire and thunderstorm at the same time.
That must have been scary.
It was very scary. I did not want to be there, but I could feel as if some force pulling and pushing me there. And having been brought up in India, you know, we grew up with the concept of karma. So the first thing which came to me is, what have I done to deserve this?
So it felt like a hell realm to you.
Yeah, it was hell.
Yes.
It was hell. So then I caught telepathically that I had so far led a very mean life, selfish life. I was technically very good with my hands, and that's what became the chief of anesthesia. But I didn't have the sympathy, the connection with my patients. They were more for me to, like, profit centers to make money.
Right.
And then I showed repentance and I asked for help. And of all the people who showed up was my father, who had died about 20, 30 years ago as a complications from his bypass surgery in Fresno, California. And I had a very complex relationship with my father. You know, I was the only son, but he was physically and verbally abusive to me. And he was a product of what is known as partition of India. You know, when there was literally genocide on both sides of the border, India was divided among two countries, became two countries on independence, Muslim Pakistan and Hindu India.
And your father was a Hindu living on the Pakistani side.
Exactly.
And he was part of that whole movement, that train movement, all the Hindus that were on the trains traveling from Pakistan to India, and so many were just massacred. Slaughtered.
Slaughtered. Trains would be stopped and everybody would be slaughtered.
And he was on that train. So you can imagine. He was young then, too.
He was 18, I think.
18 years old. You can imagine how scary that was.
And
for
he
him.
Lost contact with his family for 2-3 years. So my grandmother didn't know whether her son was alive or not.
Oh, wow.
Because my grandparents were already in India because they had come to attend some wedding, and that's, we call it partition happened. It was, so they didn't go back, but my father was in Rawalpindi.
So he had a very hard time then integrating back into India. In fact, people didn't even believe he was Hindu. They thought he was Muslim.
Yeah.
And so he had to prove it over and over and over again that he was Hindu. So you had a complicated relationship with this man who had a complicated relationship in his own life with his own father.
Father, exactly. Yes. And my grandfather had it with his father. And it was a generational trauma or abuse which was continuing.
And you were passing it on to your son in some ways
exactly.
at that time.
You know, like my especially, I have two sons.
Mm-hmm.
But the eldest son, I was showing the same behavior, not physical abuse. Well, this is after America, and I was trained as a pediatrician before. But verbally, I was showing the same characteristics like... Right. I kind of forced my son to go into medical school, which he didn't want to go, you know.
Kind of the way you were forced to in some way. So it's a surprise to you that your father then is your guide in this hell realm.
Exactly.
That here he is showing up to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And was there some healing that happened?
Oh, there was a big healing. For the first thing I realized, after all, he loved me, but he could not express it.
Right.
So there was a lot of healing and forgiveness.
And then you experienced some past lives, mm-hmm. which we probably won't have time to really go into, but some of those. But I think the main thing about it was the beings of light and the angels that showed up, and what did they give to you, and what was that experience like?
You know, like my father guided me towards a tunnel where I had a review of this life and two past lives, as you mentioned. Only thing I would like to say about my past lives is you can go back in time and make amends. Because in my present life, I had 3 wrist surgeries and I had pain in my right wrist. And in one of the past lives, I was a cruel prince whipping the poor farmers, and I asked forgiveness from them.
So the hand that you were using to whip the farmers, that you actually injured your wrist in that former life?
No, in this life.
In this life?
Present life.
Okay, but what did it have to do with the whip and whipping
like
the farmers?
I suffered pain and I could not work for a few months, and I had 3 surgeries. And the main thing is when I asked forgiveness from those farmers and they forgave me, my pain disappeared.
In this life?
Yeah. So now the question is, how can you go back in past and do it? But I was discussing with Dr. Moody, you know, the father of NDE.
Who also did the foreword of your book, Dr.
Yeah.
Raymond Moody, who
exactly.
is really, as you say, the father of near-death experiences, or what people call NDEs.
Mm-hmm. That in the other realm, there is no time, because time is after all a man-made construct, human construct. and time can go backwards or be curved, or past, present, and future is existing at the same time.
So in this, you mentioned one of your past lives that you felt like you healed something. And then were you given any instructions from the two angels that showed up in the
and the angels when I crossed the tunnel, I was greeted by two angels. As a Hindu, I knew about angels, but I did not know their names or kinds of angels they are. And they, you know,
it's a kind of Christian concept.
Christian thing, you know, and that's why, you know, they were Michael and Raphael, and they made sense to me later on, because Michael is the angel of strength, and Raphael especially is the angel for healers, for doctors and patients who need healing. And that's why my wife remarked, what happened to the thousands of Hindu gods and goddesses? One of them showed up.
Yeah, right. That's a good question. And what was your answer?
I said, I don't know.
You don't know, but that's what showed up, the Saint Michael and Saint Raphael. So there you go. So they became your guides. And you were instructed or given, not instructed, but you were given the opportunity to change your life or to do some other work.
Exactly. Then they guided me towards the being of light. It was like thousand suns at the same time. I felt like a part of the light and separate from the light, like a wave and an ocean, you know. And I was given the understanding that my life will be okay, but it'll be a totally different life. I was shown my future of talking to audiences and helping people spiritually, which was not even in my remote or even in dreams that I thought that I'll be giving up anesthesia, all the success, and where I am nowadays is, to be honest, is Angel Gabriel, you know, who is the angel, or he or she, some people say she, is an angel for communication, for speaking and writing. And I thank her for being here now to be with you.
And so these angels, you were not a public speaker. In fact, you know, you had some fear about speaking.
Big fear.
So it wasn't easy for you to just say, okay, I'm going to start this whole new life. So we'll talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he is the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And I want to spell his name just for those people, because we're not used to the spelling. Rajiv is R-A-J-I-V, and his last name, Partee, P-A-R-T-I. And his website is dyingtowakeup.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps.